Governor Cuomo has something called his energy highway. We are anticipating a large turnout, and we would love for as many people to come as possible.
So large a turnout that you had to change the venue, apparently, for this meeting.
This group was formed around the start of the year, end of last year, called the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition.
That if you're going to do all of that, the first thing that you need to do is demonstrate to us that it's actually necessary, that there really is no need.
This is Community Power, a monthly series of reports on the governor's energy highway, the popular resistance that it inspired, and the Cultural Resources Survey of Livingston.
This is the second part of my interview with Dan Duthie.
You know, putting my cynical hat on, I would say that there must be some money somewhere that's going to make some money.
Well, of course. I mean, the part of the staff recommendation is, once again, changing the process. Since they can't find justification for reliability purposes, the New York ISO blew that out of the water last summer when they said we're good for the next 10 years, which is, you know, essentially a planning horizon. They can't justify it on reduction of congestion costs because the HVSEC consultant, London Economics, blew that out of the water and showed that the congestion is coming down substantially. And that's due to, you know, an expansion of the gas supply coming from Marcellus gas, which is making the gas cheaper, and their assumed expansion of the gas system. Now, it's important to focus on the congestion is due to winter gas shortages. And I am sure that everybody, when they hear congestion on the electric system, they think about those really hot, sweltering days in July and August where everybody's got their air conditioner cranked up and, you know, the utilities are telling people to, you know, reduce their demand and whatnot. But guess what? The system is not constrained to any significant degree in the summer. The huge constraint, the huge congestion costs that occurred the last two winters were due to gas supply constraints. So logically, you don't solve a gas supply constraint by building more electric transmission. So we see that this is a solution for a non-existent problem. In addition, the usage of electricity is actually starting to go down. So when I looked at the Con Ed first quarter of 2014, the first quarter of 2015 usage, weather adjusted now, so they've taken out the effects of weather, it went down 0.4% first quarter to first quarter. Then I looked at the second quarter and I was even more amazed. The second quarter went down 1.2%. Now that's kilowatt hours versus KW. So it's energy versus demand. Well, if the energy is going down, the demand, the peak itself, will be following in short order. And so, you know, in my view, okay, we're at an inflection point where the game has completely changed. The, you know, when I first got into this business as an engineer and then later as a lawyer, the growth in electricity was absolutely amazing. I mean, I worked for two summers when I was in college at Con Edison, and they had to revise their design standards because the new homes with the new refrigerators and the color TVs and all of this were increasing the demand very, very significantly. So much so that the old design standards where you put up where a residence would use 1 MVA was just totally inadequate, and we had to redo it even during the summer. You know, I sent out some load tests, and we found that the newer homes were using tremendously more electricity than the older homes. And so, you know, the utilities were really racing to kind of catch up with that explosive growth, you know, in the late 60s and 70s and even into the 80s. Now we're at a point where, because of many, many decades of energy efficiency progress, you can't find a washing machine that uses what it used to use. So the amount of water you're using is less, therefore the amount that's being needed to pump that water is less. Your dishwasher uses less water. All of the appliances, including your refrigerator, is tremendously more efficient. So what's happening is, even though we have all of these new devices that are constantly plugged in and people are using all the time, it's nowhere near coming up to the point where the appliance efficiency, just to pick one, the building codes are tighter. So when somebody puts up a new building, it's much more energy efficient. When the young couple buys an older building and they start redoing, you know, the kitchen and everything, they are putting in appliances that are much, much more efficient. As a result, even though our population has gone up, our energy usage has become flat and is now starting to decline. So, you know, the AC transmission is sort of like, I guess good analogy is the old, do you remember the old black rotary dial phone? Can you imagine anybody using that today?
Nope.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's exactly what the utilities are proposing. And okay, so now let's talk about what's their incentive. Well, their incentive is huge. They are seeking a 12% return from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which, by the way, is the agency that sets the rates. So we have two jurisdictions involved in this. Public Service Commission does the siting. FERC sets right. the rates. So now let me just, again, try to quantify this so you get a sense of what we're looking at here. The rule of thumb for computing a revenue requirement for a capital project like this is 20% of the capital cost. So the revenue requirement, the chunk of cost that's going to go into rates, is going to be 20% of the $1.2 billion. So pretty simple math, that's $240 million a year of annual cost to the ratepayer. Of course, it's at the wholesale level, but guess what? That's going to be directly pushed down to the retail ratepayer.
And inflated, generally speaking.
Well, yeah, because there's a vigorous, you know, that's kind of put on all of those dollars. While the utility, Con Ed, for example, or Orange and Rockland or Central Hudson, they don't make money on the cost of the energy. That's kind of a pass-through. But they do make money on the return on the investment.
Yeah.
So they are very, very interested in finding big dollar ticket items that they can go into rate base and earn a return on it. Now, okay, so let's say it's going to cost $240 million. Well, when you compare that to what I'm calling the worst case congestion costs, London Economics was hired by the Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition, and they're well respected. And they did an analysis of three different gas supply scenarios. Remember, we showed that the congestion occurs in the winter due to constraints in the gas supply system. So they did three different scenarios. And in their worst case scenario, they showed that the costs downstate would be higher than the costs upstate by $80 million a year. So that was the worst case. On their best case, which is we think is the likely case, you know, all that Marcellus shale gas is going to come down here and it's going to get used. Okay, there's just so much of an economic demand that it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
And so under that case, the congestion just about disappears. There's almost no congestion. So there's no reliability reason. There's no economic reason, no congestion reason. So the last bastion, if you will, of justification is a so-called public policy requirement. So the staff is telling the commission, okay, we think you should find a public policy justification for this transmission line, send it to the New York ISO to conduct an RFP process. So they would then start an RFP process, and any developer who wants to can now come back into New York and propose to build the transmission line that is now being justified as a public policy requirement. So, you know, this case has already been running for over 2 years, and we haven't even gotten to the real Article 7 yet. So the way it's supposed to work, according to the staff recommendation, the New York ISO will conduct a, you know, an RFP, request for proposal process. The existing developers that have been participating presumably will bid on it. Maybe new developers will come in. We may wind up with, you know, new or more interesting proposals that'll have to be vetted, and then they'll have to go into it. So, you know, we're looking at another several years before we get to a point where this thing can even begun to be built. And that's well beyond any time frame where the congestion is shown to have is shown to be declining significantly by 2021 time period, according to London Economics.
Right.
So it's like building a cathedral that's only going to get used 3 hours a week. That's exactly what we're doing here. They're proposing to build a project for a very, very small amount of potential congestion. Frankly, rather than spend a dollar of revenue requirement, I'll just absorb the 30 cents of congestion costs.
Yeah.
I think every rational person would come to that decision. Why spend a dollar to save 30 cents? Your deli store owner knows that level of economics.
Yeah. Everybody does. Yeah.
But that's exactly what the staff is recommending.
Right.
And for the life of me, I can't understand how anybody with an open mind can sit there and plow through this almost 500-page report and recommendation that includes the Brattle report and come to a conclusion other than, wow, REV is the way to go. It reduces costs. It reduces emissions. It's much better for the environment. And it's exactly the way this commission, along with the governor's administration, is pushing the industry. REV is gotten national attention, because the problem with, you know, reduced electric usage is it's not just a New York phenomenon. It's happening everywhere. We're getting more solar, you know, we're getting more wind, we're getting more people saying I want off the grid, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, the whole industry is, you know, sort of approaching a crisis, and they got to figure out how they're going to deal with it. But, you know, building old style solutions is not going to work in this new world.
Tune in tomorrow for the next part of my interview with Dan Duthie.
Hey, home makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.
Community Power is produced for Wave Farms, WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Hey ho, makes you feel so funny when you're walking through a town and you got no money. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey ho, well you feel so down, picking up windfalls, crawling on the ground. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Hey ho, well you lose your mind if you sing this song about 100 times. Hey ho, makes you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.